Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be your prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield offers a comprehensive golf performance program. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 for more information or visit their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click on the Golf Performance Training tab for more information. And don't forget, stay tuned to Talking.Golf to find out how you can score a free sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls just when you call our friends at Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. And we welcome you into Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez joined by Gary D'Amato. And Gary D, the PGA Tour continues in Hawaii, we'll talk in a minute here about Jerry Kelly teeing it up with the quote-unquote flat bellies. But to piggyback on our conversation last week about Steve Stricker, his mysterious illness that will delay the start of his season and really kind of maybe pause his career here for a good 6 months. Since we talked last, Steve did take Twitter to thank everybody for their outpouring of support and well wishes in response to the article that you wrote on him. And then posted a video of him swinging a golf club, which I thought was a really cool thing for us to see. I was wondering what your impressions were of the video that you saw on Twitter and what you made out of Steve's tweet there. He looked a little bit on the light side. I think as advertised, high school freshman weight might have been pretty much spot on.
Yeah, those calves weren't in Phil Mickelson calf size, that's for sure. Yeah, Steve lost 25 pounds and it showed. I thought it showed in that video. And it was a nice little video of him, looked like hitting maybe a three-quarters wedge. Is that what you would kind of say it was, probably, Rob?
It looked like it, yeah.
Yeah, but just good to see him swinging a club, especially since he hasn't done much of that lately. And, when I talked to him 10 days ago or so, at that point he was just putting and chipping. So that might have been one of the very first swings he's made in quite a while.
And I'm just looking at the video now on Twitter. It's about 2.5 seconds. And you know what you can learn in that 2.5 seconds, Gary D'Amato?
What's that?
Is no matter what your body type and what kind of physical challenges that you're going through, you never change your swing. I mean, that's the same Steve Stricker swing. You know, if I were, all of a sudden, had something happen that, might have robbed me of my strength on the golf course, my initial reaction would be to swing harder. And that's the same fluid swing that we've seen for years. And it's probably not going to produce the distance that Steve had before, this illness. But at least as he begins his recovery, he's still hitting that club, that three-quarter wedge, with the same finesse that we've seen him swing a golf club for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. The tempo looked great. I mean, it was essentially the same swing we've seen from him for years, going back to when he really changed everything up after, when he came out of his slump, his extended slump, with that very much simpler motion. I mean, everyone you talk to who watches Steve swing a club says it just looks so simple and repeatable, and it is. And that's why he's had staying power and why he continues to be a great player, is because he got his swing to a place where he was very comfortable with it. He knew what it was going to do, and he doesn't stray from that formula.
And I should turn down the volume on that. If you can hear that in the background, that little pure from the from the moment he hits it. And you're right, he takes it back about three quarters, and that follow through that kind of goes up over his cap, and produced essentially the logo for the AmFam Championship.
is something that never gets old of watching, in part because I think it's some kind of swing that you and I can at least emulate. I think execution might be a different
yeah,
topic
yeah.
there, my friend.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a pretty simple move, and Steve's made it work for years now, and a lot of people would do well to try to emulate him rather than someone like Bryson DeChambeau, who is impossible to emulate, right? I mean, an ordinary human being can't do what Bryson does, but an ordinary human being with a lot of practice can at least look a little bit like Steve. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? There's a big distinction there. And you're right, the execution part and the ball speed and the athleticism, that's, you know, we can't maybe do all that, but we can get our swing to look a little more like Steve's than we can, say, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all tried to use one of the biggest tees in our bag, put that ball on top of it, and then, you know, do the club waggle behind it and just let her rip. The results, that's a Bryson DeChambeau move right there. And the results of that could be, I mean, catastrophic for any house alongside a golf course.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and I, like a lot of other people, have always wondered where and how. I would like someone to really take apart Steve's swing and tell where he gets his power from. Because, you know, even at his age now, and he's about to turn, 55 in a few weeks here?
Right.
He still generates good power. I mean, he can still move it out there past 300 anytime he wants to. But it doesn't look like he's swinging with that kind of power. And I always wonder, where does the power come from in Steve's swing?
Yeah. And you know, I had a debate with somebody this week out playing golf. You know, everyone, when they talk about funky swings, goes right to Jim Furyk or more recently Matthew Wolf. But the one thing that everybody that is able to play that game at a high level is able to do, Gary, is get that ball, you know, square at impact, and then get that the follow through. I mean, Steve's follow through is strong to a point where I think it generates some of that power, but at least it gets it out there, you know, in the direction he wants. I agree. I don't know, you know, because he's not, you know, he's not John Daly ripping it back past the shoulder blades, and yet he's getting it out there where he needs to get it to score, especially on the PGA Tour Champions, you know, where it's, you know, out to the, you know, out to what, maybe 150 or in, and then you're hitting, you know, 7 irons down to flip wedges into greens, and, you know, boy, you get into that mode, and it's I don't want to say it's ever easy to score, but boy, it's a lot less taxing on the anxiety level to be able to do what he does than, say, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, where you're trying to generate this power and hitting it to places that nobody's hit it. And I think that, you know, Bryson's done it, but, you know, he's also, you know, 30 years younger than Steve is right now.
Yeah. Steve has made an awful lot of money from inside that 150 yard marker, as you just pointed out, with the short irons, chipping, putting, pitching. That's where his bread and butter is. And he's made a killing on the PGA Tour by taking advantage of his strengths in that area, in those areas.
Well, it was good to see that video posted to Twitter, and we'll continue to wish Steve the best in his recovery. And again, the feedback, you know, again, from your story last week, Gary, our podcast last week continues to be great. I don't know any other updates, any other nuggets from in the reaction to the Steve Stricker story that you can share from since last week. I mean, it's been pretty incredible how many people have seen that story and showed the concern for the Ryder Cup captain.
It's amazing, Rob, to me, how many I actually heard from, probably well north of 15. Now, they say they're doctors in their emails. Who knows if they really are, but make sure Steve gets checked for this. Make sure he gets checked for Lyme disease. Make sure he gets checked for Valley fever. And I'm thinking, he's got a great team of physicians around him at UW Hospital, and I'm sure they've run him through the gamut as far as tests go. I'm sure they've tested for all that stuff. But the point is, you know, a lot of people care about Steve and, you know, and reach out and say, you know, I had the same thing happen to me and it was this, and people thought it was this. And I've gotten a lot of those emails, and I just respond and say, thank you very much. I'm sure Steve has a great team of doctors around him, but thanks for your input. And, you know, and, we'll give them our best for you, kind of thing.
Well, and it is cool because, you know, I think I remember when Tim Simpson, the pro golfer, you know, contracted Lyme disease, and you know, it was at that time a mystery as to what it was, how he got it. And then, you know, what was really amazing was the devastating impact it had on his golf career. And again, like you say, I you know, am reluctant because I'm not a doctor. And honestly, Gary, I'll fess up, didn't do very well in my biology classes in high school or college. So I'm not even going to walk down that road. And but it is kind of interesting. And you just hope that whatever it is that Steve is battling, you know, he's able to regain the strength, first of all, regain the weight, and more importantly, be able to not have any long-term effects from this thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Rob. I had trouble dissecting a frog back in biology class. So I'm not gonna offer any advice to anybody about medical problems. It's way outside my pay grade, Rob.
Way outside of both of ours, and we'll leave that to the trained professionals. And again, yeah. It's been an interesting and fascinating story to kick off 2022. Speaking of kicking off 2022, the first full field event on the PGA Tour going on as we record this podcast on a Friday, the Sony Open in Hawaii. The only golfer at this point to that's from the Wisconsin that's in the field, Jerry Kelly, gearing up for the Mitsubishi Electric Championship at Wailea in a week or so. He shoots 69-71, had it going early today and got inside the top 70, but then struggled on the back nine, and he's currently outside the cut line. Gary, we have four PGA Tour caddies from Wisconsin in the field this week. I'm resorting to PGA Tour caddies until we get more guys out on the tour with the golf club in their hand. For reference, Kyle Stanley with Austin Gaugert on the bag is faring the best. He shot 3 under par today and is T14 at 7 under for the week. Grayson Sigg is with the new partnership with John Turcotte, who's been on a number of golf bags here over the last 5 to 10 years on the PGA Tour. He is currently 3 under on the course through 15 holes and up to T22. Harris English with Appleton's Eric Larson on the bag, yet to tee off, as has Eric Van Rooyen, who has Alex Gaugert on the bag. And of course, we're going to be referencing Alex Gaugert's name quite a bit here in 2022. Because Alex Gaugert won the state amateur in 2014 at Ozaukee Country Club, which after spending a lot of the week researching and writing about the state open being there this year as part of Ozaukee's 100th anniversary, of course, you can't talk about that without talking about the last major championship there. And I think you were at that championship. It was not a very low winning score. It was a great final round for Alex that week, but Ozaukee really stood up to the state's top amateurs 8 years ago.
It really does. You know, a great Langford Moreau design, same team that designed Spring Valley down near the state line. And of course, Lasonia, one of their more famous, if not the most famous design by those guys. And Ozaukee is a tough course to score on. It always has been. If you look at the championships that's hosted through the years, Rob, in that respect, it's a little like Westmore. People look at Westmore and think they'll be able to take it deep, and people rarely do. Pearson Hunt being about as good as anyone's ever done there last year in the state am. But yeah, Ozaukee is a tough course to go low on for sure.
I talked to Jason Rasmussen, the head professional at Ozaukee, and we kind of chuckled because I'd mentioned that Joe Stadler was a little bit concerned about hole locations, especially on number 9, the finishing par 3 for the front 9, and number 8, you know, being able to find 4 different hole locations. And he says, you know, especially at the green speeds, he says that when they have their member guests there in July, it's usually at about a 12 or a 13, and they're hoping to get a little bit faster for the state am. I'll be happy to watch those that tournament with people putting on them rather than actually trying to roll a ball on those myself.
Yeah, they'll get those greens. The greens are always at Ozaukee are always, first of all, always in phenomenal shape, just like a lot of the private clubs and a lot of the better public courses around. We've got some good superintendents in our state, Rob, and those guys really get those, especially when we talk about championships, state am and the state open. Those guys get to putt on some tremendous greens, and those green complexes at Ozaukee are tough. So buyer beware, if you're playing in the state am, be prepared, practice your putting on linoleum, put it that way.
And Gary D, you've spent a career in the Milwaukee area. I mean, even you have to be impressed at how the last 4 years golfers in the state have been treated as some of the best private clubs in that area, with Milwaukee Country Club at the 2018 State Am, Blue Mound, the 19 state open, and then Westmore last year for the 2020 state am, and now going to Ozaukee. And then, you know, of course, North Shore in Mequon hosted a few years prior to that run. I mean, I was surprised. Pearson Hunt's never played at Ozaukee Country Club. Harrison Ott knows some people there, and he's been there a few times. And, private clubs aren't like Erin Hills, not like Sand Valley, where you can, you know, plan a guy's weekend necessarily. And so I think it's a real treat when those come up on the rotation, and hats off to Ozaukee for celebrating their 100th year hosting the state open.
Well, it says a lot about the private clubs in our state and in the Milwaukee area who want to host these championships. And it says a lot about the WSGA and the WPGA that they're so highly regarded that these private clubs want them to come with their biggest championships. It's a feather in the cap for the organizations to go to courses, but it's also a bragging point for the clubs to say, hey, we have the state open this year. We've got the biggest, we've got the state and we've got the two biggest or the biggest championship in the state. So it works both ways, and they have great relationships back and forth with each other.
Last year, it was Westmore and Black Wolf Run essentially for three of the four rounds of the state open, Westmore for the state am. This year, we flip it. We take the state open to the traditional course, and then the state amateur to the new course up at Sand Valley. Two new courses, the Mammoth Dunes and the original Sand Valley course. So a lot to look forward to there. Gary, also, posted a story today also gives golf fans something to look forward to this year. Casey Danielson getting to tee it up on the LPGA Tour. She'll make her debut in a couple weeks down in Boca Raton, Florida. You had a chance to talk to Casey. How does she feel about the prospects of, making this jump now to the LPGA Tour?
Yeah, she's in a great frame of mind, Rob. I mean, after grinding on the Symetra Tour to get her card, which she did by finishing third on the Symetra Tour money list, the top 10 got their LPGA cards for this year. She won twice last year, but it's a grind. And she took a pretty good amount of time off after playing her last competitive round October 10th. She's playing in a Cactus Tour event next week, Rob, but really hasn't competed basically since early October. So she's refreshed. She's energized, moved into a new apartment in St. Paul, Minnesota, close to her older sister, Lindsay, who just a couple months ago had a baby, I think a baby girl, Rob. So Casey's now a niece. She's excited about that. And I didn't know this until talking to her, but older brother Charlie is now Casey's agent. He stepped away from competitive golf, at least for the time being, because of the knee problems, which we've chronicled. He's had unfortunately, he had such a promising career, and then he was beset by knee problems. Doesn't mean his career's over, and she was sure to stress that. It's just he's exploring other avenues and became an agent, and he's going to work with his younger sister. And I'll probably try to reach out to Charlie sometime in the next few days to find out what his plans are, who else he might be looking to sign, and if he still thinks he can play someday.
Well, it would be great to see Charlie out there in any capacity.
Yeah.
Even seeing him on the bag, although I know that from time to time, Casey's had some of her former coaches at Stanford on the bag. And there's a lot to be said for having, journeyman LPGA Tour caddies on the bag from time to time to learn some of these courses that they go to. And LPGA Tour just keeps getting better and better, more competitive. They just announced a couple weeks ago record purse for the U.S. Women's Open. And much like the men's U.S. Open, they've kind of locked in basically a lifetime of great traditional venues, including Oakmont and some of the Pebble Beach, I think is on the rotation here coming up. And the women's game is really in a great state right now.
Yeah, Casey, I didn't get that in the story, but I'll probably put it in my sweet spot on Monday. Casey talked at length about the USGA and how pleased she is to see that the USGA take this step, because she said not only is it going to help the U.S. Women's Open, but it's going to have a trickle-down effect, and other tournaments are going to try to, elevate their purses and raise their purses. And she's very grateful for, and I'm sure all women golfers would feel the same way, that they're grateful of what the USGA has done by bringing on a presenting sponsor for our championship, which hasn't happened, with their big championships. So it's a big step for women's golf, and it's great to see that those women are going to, that U.S. Women's Open, I think that's going to be a lot of fun, Rob. I think Annika Sorenstam, I'm hearing, is might return to play in it, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
That would be great. It was great to see her in the U.S. Senior Open, and and last year, and you're right, she can still tee it up. I guess, what do you expect out of Casey in her rookie year? It is hard to adjust to, different schedule, different courses. I think the Symetra Tour has certainly prepared her for the grind of travel. But I just feel that, she was a bona fide superstar at Stanford. And I think she will not be surprised or in awe of anything she finds on the LPGA Tour. But it's, again, a matter of executing and being able to play the game within a game of making sure you don't fall too far behind in chasing status for, future years as well.
Right. And the other part of the equation is that she told me that she's only played one course of all the regular season events on the LPGA Tour. She's only played one of those courses, Aviara, I think, in California. I think it's in Carlsbad.
Yeah.
She's going to have to learn these golf courses as she goes. And that's a big challenge for younger players. And frankly, Rob, that's the reason that a lot of younger players take a couple of years to find their footing on the big tours, because every course is new to them, and it's a learning curve. And maybe they miss a cut one year, but if they are lucky enough to keep their status, they come back the next year, they know the course, and they play a little better. So that's going to be one big challenge for her. She told me that, I think she's in a much better place maybe with her mental game than she was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. She's working with a Dallas-based sports psychologist, and she feels she's made great strides in her mental game. So whatever challenges she encounters, and there's going to be a lot of them, she's going to rise to those challenges, I think.
And I think I've told you on several occasions that I was most impressed of the times that I saw her on the Symetra Tour with just how even keeled she is. You would expect at some point to see some sort of, golfers of all ages, ability, different levels, tend to show frustration at times or anger. She never really got upset over a poor round. And it was kind of, chalked up to a learning experience, much like the good rounds are. It's very hard in this day and age of instant gratification and results measurement to look, big picture the way that she does. I think that's going to help her.
No doubt. If she had a little bit of a struggle mentally, it was staying in the moment. You always hear that from golfers. Right. Stay present, stay in the moment. Don't look back at the hole you just played. Don't look ahead. And that's the issue. She's had a little bit of an issue with that over the years, but she said she's much better at it now. She's armed with some new tools she's learned from the sports psychologist, and she's ready to be able to handle that sort of thing better and just stay in the moment and not worry about money lists and missing cuts and what's going to happen and where do I go next, and just play the shot that you've got in front of you. Right.
And lastly, Gary, I believe fundamentally, we can make this blanket statement with everybody, but it's probably, out of all the elements of her game, putting is the one that's really dictated, where she's been, on leaderboards on the Symetra Tour. And I know she's experimented with, different size putters, arm lock grip, that kind of thing. I'm guessing that's probably the one area that might determine really how quickly she can climb as she makes this jump to the next level.
And as it is with so many players, right, Rob, it all comes down to that flat stick on the green. We see it at the highest level all the time. The people who are great putters, you can make up for a lot of mistakes if you're a great putter. And Casey's an outstanding ball striker. She's plenty long. She's not going to be the biggest bomber on the LPGA Tour, but she'll hang with that upper 25% distance wise. She's a really good ball striker. So you're right. If she can, master the putting part of it a little bit, she'll do fine.
Well, that's Casey Danielson. And again, read Gary's story on Wisconsin.golf as we look ahead here to the 2022 season on Talking.golf. Of course, Talking.golf sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield offers a comprehensive golf performance program currently being tested by our own Gary D'Amato. Their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities, i.e. Gary D'Amato, and combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning You can call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 for more information, or go on their website at www.elitesportandspinewi.com and click on the Golf Performance Training tab. And when you call Elite Sport and Spine, tell them you heard about the program on Talking.Golf and receive a free sleeve of Pro V1 golf balls just for making that call to Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Gary D., any updates on your progress with Elite Sport and Spine?
Rob, I crawled out of the gym today. My trainer, Tyler, he killed me today in a good way. He killed me with, I wouldn't say killed me with kindness. He killed me with repetitions today. I feel like I'm making really good progress, Rob. Next Wednesday, I believe I go on TrackMan again with Nathan Gex. This time it'll be at Merrill Hills. Ooh. And I'm really anxious to see the strength I've gained, the mobility I've gained in just a pretty short time. I've made some pretty good jumps. So I'm anxious to see how that translates to my golf swing and to TrackMan and what the numbers say. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I've got a question. Is how much of the mind are they able to work with? Because I'm gonna fess up. We had at the where we're living now, our Ryder Cup, the first two legs of our Ryder Cup event. And I tell you what, Gary, we did okay in the alternate shot after I totally bombed the best ball portion of the proceedings, simply because, you know, I went from, I mean, it's probably our last Illinois Wisconsin Ryder's Cup when I played something that really counted. I guess maybe the you know mixed team event that I played last year up in at the Minnesota Golf Association event with my daughter. But you know, it was one of these things where, you know, you're playing for yourself, you're playing for your partner, and you're playing for, you know, this group of guys that who, you know, really we haven't really met. We didn't have like a team room. But there were three holes yesterday and then pretty much the entire day on the opening day where I could not hit the golf ball like I have in my recreational rounds. Why is that? Have you been given the keys to the mental part of golf yet by Elite Sport and Spine? If not, knock on the door, Gary, and get it for both of us, please.
Yeah, it's a well-rounded program, Rob, but they don't have a sports psychologist that I know of. Maybe they'll add one in time, and you'll get the full package. But maybe you should call Casey Danielson's Dallas-based sports psychologist, Rob. She can probably help you out.
I'm guessing with Elite Sport and Spine, though, Gary, when they get you in physical shape, there's no chance that you ever miss a golf ball ever again.
That I miss a golf ball?
No, that it's all going to be sweet spot from here on.
I don't know about that, Rob. I just hope to gain 5 yards with my driver. I would consider that a huge, overwhelming success, as short as I hit it.
Well, this is the fun time of year, Gary, because we all get to look forward to what we want to get out of the golf season. And you and I did a series of stories before the holidays about the players of the year in Wisconsin for 2022. And there were some interesting, you know, tales there, because especially on the men's and women's side, on the women's side, you had Mia Seaman, who you know, played well enough, won the women's state open in a playoff over Grace Suter. And that, you know, gave her the opportunity to use the first time ever exemption into the men's state open, where she shot two very representative rounds at Pine Hills and Black Wolf Run, missing the cut. But she said that really, you know, you talk about, you know, using performance to get better, even though the performance itself may not have been the best. You know, even though I stunk to high heaven the last couple of days, I learned where my deficiencies were. She told me that in that men's state open, she learned where her deficiencies were and then went out and really dominated qualifying at South Dakota State a few weeks later and went on to have a great fall season. It's interesting how failure can really dictate things as much in golf as success. And as far as our women's player of the year with Mia Seaman, that seemed to be the case, winning a big event in Wisconsin, arguably the biggest one there is in the Women's State Open, and then, you know, being humbled to a degree in a new, comfortable environment at the Men's State Open.
Well, you know, for an elite player like Mia, I think it's very true that when you have to step up your game to a higher level of competition, you have to hit the ball a little harder than you're used to hitting it. I think all those things you learn from those, right? And I'm sure that's probably what you're talking about. She took some of those lessons with her when she went back to college and paid off.
Absolutely. And then the story you wrote on the men's player of the year, Adam Miller, a Lodi native, former state champion for the Lodi Blue Devils, who has had an interesting, you know, since he was, I believe, junior player of the year in 2014 or 15, has had kind of an interesting route to becoming the men's player of the year, because, you know, he played a semester or two of junior college golf at Madison College, but that, you know, not sure that that really impacted what has come since, because he's gone to Sand Valley, worked in the caddy program there, continues to play a lot. And now he's in or near the top of every leaderboard in every amateur event in Wisconsin. Ray Fisher, state match play qualifying, state match play. And of course, at the state amateur at Westmore, you know, had another great finish and was a factor to a degree at the state open. What did you get out of your conversation with Adam of where he's at with his game? And how would you describe his place right now in amateur golf in Wisconsin? It's very unique for a guy like that to be where he is in with, you know, these Harrison Otts and Pearson Hunts and Hunter Eichhorns of the world.
It's a little bit of an unconventional route, and all credit to him, because he doesn't, you know, some people might look at a Pearson Hunt and a Hunter Eichhorn and guys who are elite college players and say, it's going to be hard to, you know, keep up with these guys, but he doesn't have that attitude at all. He thinks he's every bit as good as those guys. And this, you know, the results show that he is. I mean, he basically, as you mentioned, he top fived in almost everything he played in last year, qualified for the U.S. Amateur. And I had a caddy after that, our story was on Wisconsin.gov, another Sand Valley caddy emailed me and said, Adam Miller is going to win the state amateur next year. You can mark my words. And I mean, Adam knows both of those courses. He's caddied hundreds of rounds on them. He has to be among the favorites.
Oh yeah. And it's fascinating that, you know, this couldn't have set up any better, where he has kind of this breakout year on tough courses. I mean, Westmore, Black Wolf Run. I saw him at the state match play at Hawks Landing. I mean, you know, and he's solid up and down and left-hander, right? Am I right?
Left-hand. Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, really has great control of every club in the bag. And now we're going to the two courses in a unique format for the state amateur, playing Mammoth Dunes and Sand Valley in the first two rounds, much like they did Black Wolf Run and Pine Hills for the state open this past year. And that's where he's worked and kind of, you know, made this growth. It will be interesting. We've all had caddies at the, you know, the high end courses, the Whistling Straits and the Erin Hills. These guys know, and gals know, the game inside and out, and you don't get that just by sitting there and watching, you know, the person that you're playing with. I mean, you've got to get out there and actually play the course and get to know, especially the greens, and be able to kind of, you know, almost look into the future and tell me what that my putt's going to do, knowing that I may not put the perfect, you know, stroke on the putt. And these people like Adam Miller are able to do that. I can't wait to see how that projects to his own game in a situation like having to negotiate the course set up for a state or state amateur.
Yeah, well, while he might not have the experience of playing in high level college events, certainly like some of the guys we've written about and mentioned, certainly he's playing against those other caddies. Every time those guys have a chance, they tee it up and play against each other. And we're talking about mini tour players and former college players and guys trying to make it as professionals. And those guys are playing for money, Rob. They're not playing for trophies. And that's, you know, that's a little, that's a whole different ballgame when you're playing for money as a caddy. So he has that kind of experience, and that can harden you to tournament pressure as well as any college tournament can.
And then another story that you wrote was on the WPGA Players of the Year. And for the first time in a long time, neither were named Jim Schumann.
Yeah, I think Jim had won both of them 4 years in a row, I believe, the senior and the regular, and a longer streak for the senior, I think like 6 or 7 years in a row. So, yeah, it was he finally was unseated by Mick Smith, comes from Sydney, Australia, and Mick had a great year nationally, too. I mean, he played in a lot of stuff in Florida, and then he did very well in the national senior club pro, I guess it was, or was it the club pro? I'm confused now, but yeah, he had a very good year and supplanted Jim at the top.
And then on the senior side, Kurt Manilow was, you know, right there too. And both Mick and Kurt, you know, have kind of picked up the baton, so to speak, from guys like Jim Schumann, Eddie Terrasa, and, you know, all these great club pros that have, you know, come through. And, you know, we talk a lot about the depth of the amateur game in Wisconsin. We talk about the depth of the mini tour golfers that are, you know, scattered about the country. But I think maybe underappreciated is the depth of the club professionals in the state. And you look at a guy like Mike Crowley, who Michael went through, PGA Tour Champions qualifying school and almost made it there. And, after a great year on the senior club pro circuit, much like Kurt did and Mick. And and they're not the youngest players in the section, but certainly they know how to golf their ball. And, you know, the best thing is all those guys are qualified and bona fide teachers too. You and I can go to them, Gary, and kind of, tap into their knowledge and in theory, get better if we chose to.
And they're all really good people too, Rob. And it's funny, we ran our top 10 stories of the year a couple of weeks back, top 10 stories of 2021. And, I think I threw it on Facebook, and Michael Crowley commented and said, hope you're writing about me as one of the top 10 stories next year. So he has plans to do something big this year, Rob.
Well, and I talked to Nate Pokras about the fact that, Wisconsin's exceptional showing in the PGA Tour Champions qualifying school kind of plays right into the new invitational status of the AmFam Championship. And, if someone like Skip Kendall and Mario Tiziani and Michael Crowley, they're in the mix for those spots. Obviously, Skip and Mario played on those exemptions last year. And Mario actually finished better out in Sioux Falls than he did in Madison. But, he was very, early in that process. It's exciting to see that, there are some options there for those kind of golfers as well. So we might see him in an AmFam championship setting. But for sure, a guy like Michael Crowley can probably handle a state open at Ozaukee as well as anybody.
Yeah, Kurt Manla, when I was talking to him, and he was talking about how far Michael hits it. So definitely, nerves would be a factor for him, I'm sure, if you were to make it into the AmFam at some point. But he hits it certainly as long as the bigger hitters on that tour. And we've got some, you're right, Rob, we've got some at all levels right now, some really good golfers, some elite golfers at every level from junior up to senior club pro.
And last but not least on our Players of the Year story, we had on the girls' side for junior golf, it was Nora Roberts out of Racine, had a breakthrough year against some really good competition. And again, the class of 2023 for girls, figured when they hit high school that they might be upstaged by 2024. And not the case. Nora had an exceptional year and edged out Hannah Dunk, another 2023 kid who is lives in Janesville, but is a Milton High School golfer. And then Jessica Geiser, who's been at the top before and is from Heartland, but currently attending IMG Academy in Florida. So a really good 1-2-3 there. And then, of course, on the boys' side, Caden Nam is the Player of the Year, and that just continues his arc. And Gary, I think you probably remember Caden from when he qualified for the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals down at Augusta National. It was one of the first years they took the finals to Augusta, and he was a little kid back then, is now this tall, lanky, like so many of our young high school and college golfers. He just has grown into himself, into his body, and into another level of golf, and certainly had a great year. And needed to, and I think you covered his win at the WPGA Junior or WFGA Junior Championship up at Reedsburg, where he knew he needed to win to get ahead of a number of other guys up near the top of the standings, Sebastian Kaysen, Bryson Mercier, Ty Kretz, and Mason Schmidtke were some of them that were pushing him near the top. I think they had seven boys with 1,000 points or more. But so you got to see, Caden in his finest moment, you got to see what kind of golfer he is and really what kind of golfer he could be.
Yeah, very impressed. And what really impressed me about Caden was with about 6 or 7 holes left to play, his dad, Peter Nam, was there following him. And Caden sidled up to his dad and said, "Dad, be sure to take some photos for the whatever the little paper up is in Minocqua, the Minocqua.
The Lakeland Times, I believe, yes.
Yeah. So he was that confident. He saw himself winning that tournament with 6 or 7 holes to go and said, "Dad, get a couple photos so they have something to run of us, back home." So very confident young man and played great that week.
And of course, uncommitted yet for college. When I talked to him for our players or for our class ranking story, he had taken a visit to South Dakota State, which is where Ty Kretz and Now Bryce and Mercier are going to go, but was also looking at a couple of schools down south, and you know, there were a couple other schools in the mix. So again, not easy to get those looks, but certainly with his resume this year, it looks like Caden Nam will do just that. And then of course we had a couple other senior players to mention. Help me out on the men's amateur side, but on the women's amateur side, it was Maggie Leaf who really accomplished some goals, left a couple of goals unchecked, but said that she was really, really impressed at the level of competition afforded her by people like Mia Seaman. And she just gets better with age. And I know Sid Wells, who has been her kind of rival for that honor the last decade or so, was a little bit limited physically this year, had a few injuries, but at that age, that seems to be what, allows those senior amateur golfers to be able to continue what they've done here over their lifetime.
Well, Maggie made it to match play in back-to-back USGA championships, which is a tremendous feat. And then our men's senior amateur player of the year, Bob Gregorski, right?
That's right. Yes.
Bobby. Yeah. And had an even bigger throw, and he got to watch his daughter play on the University of Wisconsin women's volleyball national championship team.
Yeah, I like that part. And it's funny. I knew that was because you wrote about that, I think, the week after that happened. And
yeah.
I'm sure you called him about the player of the year thing. And oh, by the way, what was it like to go to Indianapolis or wherever the finals were? And I was watching that. I mean, that was probably one of the most captivating national championships in any sport I've ever seen.
Riveting.
Setter with rival Nebraska, the former Badger coach, John Cook. And we've always known Bob Gregorski as Badger Bob because he was he still holds, I think, the single round 18-hole record for the UW men's golf team of 63 at Cherokee Country Club and in a Badger invite way back in the day. But, man, I tell you, what a thrill that must have been for a Badger alum to be watching his daughter win a national championship. Those just don't fall off the tree, do they, Gary?
No, they don't. And, you know, he told me it was as big a thrill, if not bigger, than anything he's ever done in golf, which is a big statement. But when it's your own kid out there, yeah, I imagine he was very nervous. And when they came through with the championship, man, that's got to be so exciting for a parent.
Well, it's kind of cool to look back a little bit on some of the exploits of the great golfers of 2021 and try to project. I don't know if we were to have a crystal ball, any thoughts on who might be, let's just kind of limit it to the men's and women's amateur players of the year in 2022. I'm kind of hitting you with a curveball here, but there's a lot, especially on the men's side, a lot of depth there and a lot of, you know, talent with, you know, Harry Ott and Hunter Eichhorn in their final year of college. They may not actually win it because they may be, you know, professionals by midsummer. I know that Harrison said that he's going to go through the Canadian Tour qualifying during the middle of the spring season at Vanderbilt, as I think a lot of guys are, to try to get some status for the summer. Very few of these guys. He mentioned that this PGA Tour University, Gary, you might know more about this, but not counting the summer events, it's mostly geared around the big collegiate invites in season. And so he doesn't really fare very well in that. But, for sure, Pearson Hunt, Adam Miller with the state am being at Sand Valley. But, you can go down that list and it's there's a lot of candidates that could, enter the picture.
Yeah, Adam Garski, some of the slightly older mid-ams, Jack Schultz is he's competitive every year in everything he plays in. We had Dustin Schwab winning, a Ray Fisher. So it's a pretty deep field. And how about Pearson, too, making Golf Canada's Canadian national team? And he'll get resources, coaching, opportunities to play. In Canada's national golf program, that's just tremendous for him. It's going to help him a great deal.
Yeah, he was after the Patriot All-America here down in Arizona a few weeks back. He was going to be staying in the area to work with the Team Canada. And you're right, and especially this time of year, it was a great alternative to going back into the snow, even in Illinois. But another person I think we can't sleep on is Cameron Huss. You wrote about him a few right before Christmas as well. I tell you, that kid, and we've said it probably about the dozen times we've said this on this show, credit to Michael Burson, the former Badger coach, for finding this kid out of all the kids that he's looked at in the state of Wisconsin, because he offered Cameron Huss long before anybody else knew who Cameron Huss was. And he's proven to be an absolute gem for the Badgers.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely don't want to overlook Cameron. He's as good as anybody in the state, Rob. And his arc keeps going up too. He's been upwardly mobile, as they say, getting better and better every year. Definitely look for big things from Cameron.
And then, of course, Mia Seaman, has another year left after this. She said she may not take it at South Dakota State. It depends, where she can academically find the best fit for that fifth year. So she's got a lot of amateur golf left ahead of her. Number two on the Player of the Year list was Bobby Stricker, and that's an interesting read. And I don't know if you've talked to Steve about this when you talked with him about it, his health situation recently, but Bobby can remain an amateur and still go through the Symetra Tour qualifying again at the end of 2022. And for a lot of young women golfers, that is usually the route a lot go, because that opens up more opportunities to compete in more things, state amateurs, state opens, a lot of things. Now, Bobby did tell me, I think at one point, that she was looking at maybe the women's APT tour down in Texas, which is where Tess Hackworthy has played. It's kind of a feeder program into the Symetra Tour, and clearly she'll get some Symetra starts. But I really hope we see a little bit of Bobby Stricker this summer at the State Am and the State Open if she decides to remain an amateur.
Yeah, Steve and I did not talk about Bobby, but we did talk about Izzy a little bit, because the reason Steve is down there in Bradenton, Florida right now and is going to be there until May is because they enrolled Izzy in the IMG Academy. So there's another name to watch, Rob. When she gets out of that academy and comes back to high school, it's going to be interesting to see what she does.
Absolutely. I mean, IMG has done wonders for Jessica Geiser in terms of confidence and just making a great golfer even better. And I think we're going to see the same out of Izzy. On the women's list, obviously Maggie Lee finished third overall, kind of Jim Schumann-esque, that she is continues to be in the mix both at the senior level and the regular amateur level. Tatum Beck out of Waterford, I think wrapping up a career out at Weber State in Utah. So we'll see what the future holds for Tatum. Amy Kucera, who was a co-player of the year 2 years ago with Mallory Swartz out of Franklin, was number five on the list, and she's entered the real world. I'm not sure we'll see as much of Amy in the future, although she did mention to me this summer that if she does play any competitive golf during the summers, it will be on the Wisconsin side of the border. She's an Illinois native whose family has a summer home in Fontana. And then, of course, Mallory, had a COVID scare about the same time you did a year ago, Gary. And it took a while to bounce back from that, lost her spring season, started the summer slow, but had a good solid fall season at Bowling Green State. So I would expect to see her, bounce back. And then, who knows? I expect a lot out of Emily Lauterbach, Ashley Kalka, Abby Caviani, all, golfers that are nearing the end of their college careers. Sarah Busey wrapping up a college career out at Old Dominion after 4 years at Santa Clara. If she continues to play at the college level, there's a lot of candidates for that Women's Player of the Year thing. It'll be interesting to see who emerges.
No question. We're going to have good races in junior boys and girls, men and women. Take your pick from among 6 or 8 or 10 of the top players in each category, because it's going to be a shootout this year.
Well, always fun to look ahead to 2022. And, as we kind of ease our way into the year, Gary, appreciate the time here on Talking.Golf, and we'll tee it up again with some more topics next week.
Sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield. Winter doesn't have to be your downtime for golf. In fact, it should be prime time to get your body in shape and improve your game for the upcoming season. Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield offers a comprehensive golf performance program, and their innovative approach is geared towards golfers of all ages and abilities. It combines medical and fitness assessment, specific golf movements, and TrackMan analysis. Elite Sport and Spine's team of TPI certified providers then creates a plan for you to address your specific limitations, combining golf instruction, physical rehabilitation, and strength and conditioning. Call Elite Sport and Spine in Brookfield at 262-373-9168 for more information, or visit their website at elitesportandspinewi.com and click Golf Performance Training to learn more. And don't forget, call Elite Sport and Spine at 262-373-9168 and tell them you heard about the program on talking.golf on wisconsin.golf, and you can net yourself a free sleeve of Pro V1 or Pro V1X golf balls just for saying you heard about Elite Sport and Spine here on talking.golf. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.